Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. My name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad you're here as we continue in our series, When Life Hits. And we just wanted to start that out by just declaring loud and clear that Jesus loves the little children, that Jesus loves you, and he loves your family, and he loves your kids, and that's regardless of skin color, educational level, economic status, religious background, or even moral behavior or lack that thereof. Can I tell you, it is a flat out fact that as you sit here today, you have a Father in heaven who sees you, who knows you, and he is crazy about you. He loves you, and he loves your children, and that's why I'm so glad you're here today as we continue in our series, When Life Hits, because today we're talking about one of the most painful hits that a family can take as we talk about what to do when your kids rebel. In fact, we have an outline for today's message. It's a light blue sheet found in your program. Let me encourage you to take this out and use it to follow along. All the verses from the Bible that we're looking at today are printed there for you, and there's a place to take some notes if that is helpful for you. And I just want to say, in the same way that your Father in heaven cares about you and he cares about your kids, I know this, if you're a parent today, you love your kids. You care about them. You want the very best for your kids. You want your kids to be safe and happy and protected and provided for. As parents, we desperately want our kids to grow up to be good and to do good. I mean, think about parents. What do you want for your kids? You want your kids to grow up to be healthy, to be responsible, to make good decisions, to live with strong character and deep faith. Ultimately, you want your kids to what? Like, you want them to, like, marry the right person and get a job, right? I mean, we want good things for our kids, but when that doesn't happen, I mean, when you see your kids going down some bad roads, when you see your kids making bad changes, hanging out with the wrong crowd, or when it comes to issues of faith in the church, and you see your son or daughter turning away from Christ, man, that can be frustrating and painful and heartbreaking. In fact, last week, Karen and I, when we talked about our marriage, and we shared that one of the most difficult seasons in our 25 years of married life together, one of the most difficult seasons is when one of our kids was dealing with a major emotional and health issues, and some of that included a season of rebellion. Can I tell you, it was a dark, painful time, and we felt like Satan was trying to just rip our family apart. What do you do when you're in that season? What do you do when your kids are rebelling? Well, that's what we're looking at today, and to help us to do that, we're going to look at one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible of when a kid rebels. It's a story that Jesus told in Luke 15. It's called the story of the prodigal son. So there on your outline, or hey, before we jump into that, it's interesting. I want to give you a little bit of foundation because it's interesting. If you look at the whole Bible, you'll find that from the very beginning, there's all these like stories of kids who rebelled. I mean, think about it. God's first kids, Adam and Eve, they rebelled, right? Big time. And then right after that, Adam and Eve, their kids, Cain and Abel, led to the first murder in the Bible. You go a little further and you read about Abraham. He's the father of our faith. Abraham, he has a couple kids that they started fighting and they split up and they're still fighting today. Isaac and Ishmael. Eli, the high priest, you can read about him in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 4. He had two kids named Hophni and Phinehas. Those kids were so bad and so rebellious that God just took them out. And then you read a little bit further, you read about King David. In the Bible, King David, man, he was called a man after God's own heart. Do you know King David had a son named Absalom? And Absalom was so rebellious that he tried to, like, wipe out David's king, overthrow his kingdom and destroy him and kill his own father. And I don't know about you, but I look at the examples and I start reading the Bible and I go, wow, the Bible is just filled with all these parents who have kids who crash and burn and rebel by bringing huge problems onto their family. And when I was looking at that, I had to ask, like, you know, why, God? How come there's all these kids rebelling? I mean, these are Bible kids. They're supposed to be the good ones, right? But they end up rebelling and doing all these bad things. Why is it? Is it bad parenting? Is it the parents screwed up? Who blew it? And then I realized I had to have a comeback to reality moment. And I started thinking, I thought it'd be kind of cool for us right here to just have just a moment of just humble, honest confession. And I'd like to ask you by a show of hands, how many of you here this morning would say that, you know, along the journey of my life, there's been a time or two where I've rebelled and turned away from God and did my own thing? Like, hold your hand up high. I want you to look around the room. About 99% of us, right? In fact, you know that one time God was looking down from heaven and he saw 99% of his kids were rebelling and doing their own thing and going down a bad road, and only 1% of his kids were doing really good and trying to live for him and obey him. And God didn't want that 1% to get discouraged. So God said, I'm going to send an email to that 1% who are doing really good to encourage them. Do you know what that email said? Well, don't feel bad. I didn't get one either. But anyways, so here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I want to encourage you. Would you write this down? That even the most perfect father can sometimes have kids that rebel. Even the most perfect parents sometimes have rebellious children. The most perfect father, our heavenly father, his kids rebelled. And sometimes it is related to our parenting. But sometimes parents, we have to realize our kids are going to come to a point where they're going to make their own decisions. They're going to go down their own roads. And don't get me wrong here. Parents, I want to say this loud and clear. We are absolutely the biggest influencer on our kids' lives. And the role you play as a father, as a mother, it's absolutely essential. But there comes a time where our kids make their own choices. They make their own decisions. And so here's what I want to do with my message today is I just want to rewind the tape a little bit. I want us to go a little bit back, and I want to talk to you about how you can, from very early on, you can set some lights on the footpath for your children. So if they get off course, if they go down a bad road, if they end up in some dark places, you've planted some lights along the way so that they can find their way back home. That's what I want us to talk about today. And again, I want to use the framework of the story of the prodigal son. Do you know it? Story of the prodigal son found in Luke 15. Jesus tells this story. And just to set the stage, I want you to understand the father in this story, he was a good dad. He was, it wasn't like he couldn't control his son. The father, man, the son made his bad choices. But what the dad did, man, he set some lights on the pathway for his son. So when his son crashed and burned, ultimately when he hit the wall, he knew how to get back home. So let's talk about the story of the prodigal son. Now, I didn't have room on your outline to print the whole story, but I wanted you to see it. So on the screen behind me, I'm going to read the story. Follow along on the screen behind me. It starts out this way. It says, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. Now, do you understand, in this culture, that was like going to your dad and saying, I wish you were dead. That's how insulting it was to ask, like, you know, dad, give me my money now. But that's what he did. And the father agreed to divide his wealth between the sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in what?
Wild living.
Man, he rebelled. He went off the deep end in wild living. And then the next slide continues. About the same time, his money ran out. Has that ever happened to you? Man, money just has a way of running out, right? His money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him out in the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. See, we get that as parents, right? See, sometimes our kids grow up and they feel kind of entitled, like life owes them something. But we know when our kids go out in the real world, right? No one's going to give them anything. So that's what happened to him. And then on your outline, would you look at this? It says this. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father, say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. See, this kid was rebelling, but he kind of hits this hinge point in the story. And it's so important. I'm going to ask you on your outline, would you underline this hinge point when it says this? When he finally came to his senses. When he finally came to his senses. Like he ran into some bad consequences. He realized that the road he was on was a dead end road, a bad road. But he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home to my dad. I'm going to go home to my father. Now, in our case with our kids, we hope that that hinge point, that they come to their senses sooner rather than later, right? But somewhere along the line, our prayer is when we have kids that are rebelling, God, help them to come to their senses. Bring them to this hinge point, because here's what the son did. He said, I'm going back home. I'm going back to dad. And I'm going to say, Dad, I messed up. I sinned against heaven and against you. And I want you to capture this point, because somewhere along the journey of this kid's life, the father had planted some lights. So kind of like a moral compass, kind of like the spiritual foundation. Prior to the crash, this kid had a moral conscience and some lights for his path, because he said, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. And then here's how the story ends. Let's wrap up the story. It says, so he returned home to his father. While he's still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. And son said to him, Father, sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Now, I wanted you to have this story as a foundation, because I want you to grab onto a couple things. First of all, I want you to understand that there is a spiritual side to this story where you and I are the prodigal kids. You and I, we are the sons and daughters that have strayed from God. We've made our mess, but listen to me. Whenever you turn your hearts towards heaven and you come back to God in humble repentance, you know what? God doesn't beat you down. God doesn't make you feel like a loser. Man, he runs to us with open arms to welcome us back to him. And if you've done to God what this son in the story has done, please hear me. God wants to know you can come home. You can come. He's provided a way to light your way back to him. And what you'll find if you come back to him is you'll find love and grace and forgiveness. And I want you to know that's why we're here as a church, to help people come home to the Heavenly Father. But I also want you to see the second side of the story, that there is some wisdom in this story, wisdom for struggling parents. So parents, if you have kids who are rebelling, man, I want you to hear, like in the story, you can't always control the choices that your kids make. You can't control that, but we want to make sure that when they come to their senses and they want to come back, they can make it, because their pathway has been well lit. It's part of the heart of what Proverbs 22:6 says on your outline. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. It says, you pave the way. You provide the lights for your kids' pathway, so that when they go down bad roads and get lost and end up in dark places, there's some light that can lead their way back home so they can get back on track. That's what the father in the story did, and that's what I want us to look on your outline. How do you lay these lights down so your kids can come back? Well, the first thing I tell you, number one on your outline, parents, listen to me. You want to model and discipline early on. It's how you lay some lights down. You model and discipline early on. You know, this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It's talking to us as parents. And this is what it says. It says, parents, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly. Like God's saying, it starts with you, mom and dad. You commit first. You lead the way. You commit yourself to these commands, like to live for God and follow God's will and follow God's way in your life. And then it says this, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away on a journey and when you're lying down and when you're getting up. Here's what he's saying here with your kids. The Bible is saying you surround your family with the things of God, not just when you're at church, but when you're walking through the pathway of your normal everyday life. Like when your kids wake up in the morning, you thank God for the day and you point them to God and you challenge them to have a great day and to live for the Lord. And then when you go through your day and at night when you're tucking your kids into bed, you pray for them and you put your hands on them and you bless them. And as you're walking, you live in front of them in such a way that you create an ambiance of the Lord in your home. Like your kids just grow up and it's just natural lifestyle where they see you living for God and loving him. That's what it means to, what Deuteronomy says, model that with your life. And it's more than just the words you say, it's how you live. Listen to me, do you understand your kids have this tendency not to follow your religious beliefs, but to follow your lifestyle? How we live and how we communicate, that's what they're going to follow. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. This really hit home for me when I was a dad with little ones. Someone handed me this poem early on. I've never forgotten it, and I'd like to share it with you now. It goes like this. The poem's called Little Eyes Upon You. And I can still in my mind see my kids when they were little. And it says this. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands that are eager to do the things you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're this little boy's hero. You're the wisest of the wise, and in his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds all, takes in all that you do. And he will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right. His ears are always open and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up just like you. Guys, do you see it? Do you understand why it's so important that you model well? In fact, this is so important. Would you write this down? I want you to capture this truth, is that we can teach what we know. We can teach what we know, but we reproduce what we are. We reproduce what we are. See, you can teach all you want about character and morals and religious beliefs, but friends, listen to me. If I don't practice what I preach, man, it's going to mess my kids up. And many times that leads them to rebellion. When they see a contradiction to what their parents say matters and how their parents live. In fact, let me encourage you, turn your outline over. I want you to see a clear picture of this from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Look on your outline. This is talking about King Abijam. His father is Rehoboam. This is what he says. He committed the same sins as his father before him. And his heart was not right with the Lord his God. See, you can teach all you want, but you reproduce what you are. In the Old Testament, so many kings, their kids' rebellion was just, they were just following in their father's footsteps. In fact, somewhere on the side of your notes, dads, you might want to write down this phrase, like father, what? Like son. Like father, you model, you pave the way, you set down some lights, like father, like son. That's modeling. It's kind of like the dad who, man, he finds out his kid's doing drugs, and so he grabs that kid, throws him up against the wall, and says, you told me you weren't doing drugs. You're lying to me, and I can't stand liars. You're nothing but a liar. While he's yelling at his kid, the phone rings. Wife picks it up and says, oh, hey, honey, someone's on the phone for you. You know, well, tell him I'm not here. Can't you see I'm busy? You're nothing but a liar. Where'd you? Well, where did that kid learn to lie? You see, we model, we set the tone, we set the stage, we reproduce what we are. And right now, this idea of modeling, man, I thought it was like just in the early days. But even now, it's more important than ever. Like right now, I'm modeling for my son, Tim. He's 16, just got his driver's license. Right now, my big modeling thing is driving. And friends, can I tell you, it's not easy. Man, my wife is always, we're driving together and Karen's in the car and she's saying, hey, you got to model for your son how to drive. Okay, honey, use your turn signal. You got to model. Come to a complete stop, honey. You know, watch your speed. Remember, you're modeling. I turn to Karen and I say, yeah, you're also modeling for him how not to be a backseat driver. No, I didn't say that. I wanted to, but no. Because I'm scared of her. No. She's here today, and she will discipline me later. So, but I'm having to model, but the discipline part. Now, nobody likes the discipline part, but you know, discipline is a very positive word. Discipline is setting the boundaries that give direction to life by enforcing them. It's sort of like, I want you to think of discipline like the banks of a river. With the river, though, the water continues to push against the boundaries. See, the banks of the river provide the boundaries. And what do our kids do? They push the boundaries, right? They're always pushing. You want to have those boundaries set in place, because when a river has good boundaries and the water stays within those boundaries, man, it gives direction, it gives life, it gives power. In fact, you can harness that power into hydroelectric energy. It's a good, positive thing. But if they lose the boundaries in a river, once what brought healthy, a life-giving river becomes a swamp, like that brings destruction and destroys homes, and then a swamp's good for nothing but snakes and mosquitoes, right? You don't want that. You want to have the boundaries in place, and you want to stick to them. And one of the main things I want you to be clear on is there is a definite difference when you're setting boundaries. There's a difference between discipline and punishment. And I want you to understand that. Yeah, I want you to be clear on that. Because a lot of parents are really good at punishing their kids, bringing down the hammer, but that's not what God calls us. He calls us to discipline our children. Do you know the difference? In fact, write this down. Punishment is motivated by anger and focuses on a past misdeed. And your kids tick you off, they frustrate you, you get mad, and you bring that. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, do we have any Simpsons fans here? A few of us are Simpsons. You know, a great example that will help you understand. Homer, he doesn't discipline Bart. Homer gets mad at Bart, and Homer says, you did what? You stupid, chokes him, whack, beats him down. I disciplined him. No, you didn't. You punished him because it was motivated by anger focused on a past misdeed, whereas discipline, write this down, discipline is motivated by love. It's motivated by love and focuses on future behavior. And can I tell you, listen to me, I've had to bring loving discipline to so many things. Lying and being disrespectful, taking things that weren't theirs. And in my house, can I tell you, I have to be honest with you, in my house, I've heard it all. I've heard, no, you can't make me. I hate you. Hey, you're not the boss of me. And that's just my wife, Karen, when I'm trying to tell her what to do. You know, I just, hey, I'm already in trouble. I'm just going big. See, with our kids at the different ages, when they were disrespectful or disobedient, discipline took different forms, right? In the younger days, there were spankings. Today with teenagers, all right, Mr. Hand over your cell phone. You've just lost your screen time. No, you cannot go with your friends to Great America. You just lost your allowance. You're on restriction. But as parents, we don't do it perfectly. But we're trying to set consequences that are led by love and focused on future behavior. In fact, I came across this great quote that stuck with me as a parent. And I want you to see it on the screen behind me that teaches us a lot about discipline. It says this. I hope you see the love in this quote. It's cruel of parents to permit their children to develop habits, like habits like lying or laziness or disrespect. It's cruel of parents to permit their children to develop habits which they know afterwards must be broken. Friends, you understand that out of love and discipline, many times I've had to say, son, daughter, I love you too much to let this go without consequences, because I don't just care about what's happening right now. I care about the person you're going to be one day. More than once, I've had to say, hey, son, this is going to hurt daddy more than it's going to hurt you. And man, I swore when I was a kid, I'd never say that to my, you know, but like father, like son, but I've had to say it. Let me tell you why this discipline part is so important. Look at Proverbs 19:18 on your outline. It says, discipline your children while there is hope. If you don't, you will what? Ruin their lives. It will ruin their lives. This is so key. Modeling and discipline. They are like the lights on the pathway of our kids' lives. And if you lay them out well, it will provide guidance and direction and security. But if we don't lay these out well, it's like you're leaving your kids in the dark to try to figure out their own way. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, you know, what if I do all this? And none of us do it perfectly, right?
Amen.
Sometimes we do out of anger or blah, blah. But we're trying hard to model and to live for God and to bring good guidance and discipline to your kids. What if they rebel after that? Like in the prodigal son, then what do you do? Well, what did the dad do in this story? Well, in fact, I want to encourage you, number two on your outline, here's what you do when your kids are rebelling. You watch and pray. You watch and pray, but you stay focused on God's purposes for your own life. And when I say watch and pray, I encourage you to watch and pray for two things. Number one, you want to watch and pray for your rebelling child, of course, right? You want to watch and pray for them, and you want to try to figure out, you're watching them carefully, trying to figure out what's going on with them, what's driving this rebellion, what's causing them to be so rebellious. In fact, I didn't have room for this on your outline, but I want to give these to you very quickly because you want to try to figure this out. Do you know the top five reasons why teenagers rebel against God, against their parents, go down bad roads? Well, you should know these things. So let me, somewhere in your outline, you can write these down. Top five reasons why kids rebel. Number one, this might surprise you, but you need to know this. They rebel because they're supposed to. They're supposed to. Believe it or not, it's part of adolescent development. As their brain is developing, their ability to argue and push back is growing, and they like to practice it out on their parents. And you have to determine, you have to go, is what my kid is going through, is this just a normal part of adolescent development where they're pushing back and fighting for their own independence, or is there something else driving this? That means sometimes parents, don't panic, but figure out, hey, is this just normal teenage behavior and I'm getting some pushback and a little attitude, or is there something else going on? Number one reason why teens rebel, they're supposed to. But the second one, and you write this one down, huge one, unstable home life. Psychologist, PhD, Gary Collins says, it's a fact of family life that unstable homes produce unstable children. Sometimes parents, our kids are out of control because their home life is out of control. And I can just say on a side note, parents, listen to me. The best gift that you will ever give your children is just a loving, stable, committed marriage. Man, you give your kids that, and man, it's going to give them it's going to give them great light and a great foundation. Third reason why kids rebel is peer pressure. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Parents, we need to watch who our kids are hanging out with. And man, if they start getting in the wrong crowd, we need to set some boundaries. And we need to fight for that because we know that, especially in the teen years, you know, the big influence on our kids' life is their friends. The fourth one, would you write this down? Sometimes teens rebel because it's a cry for help. A cry for help. Sometimes they're rebellious. They're saying, I need attention. I need help. I am overwhelmed, and I cannot handle what's happening for me. In fact, I came across this interesting quote from Huffington Post that says, American teens today are even more stressed than adults. Man, our kids are under so much pressure, and sometimes their rebellion is like a desperate cry, like, help me, I'm not making it. And then the fifth reason is spiritual attack. Parents, we can't be naive to the spiritual reality of 1 Peter 5:8 that says this. It's like saying, watch for your kids. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And man, I just tell you, I know Satan attacked our family. And we had to watch and pray for our kids. And that's part of when your kids rebel, you watch and pray for them. And then secondly, you want to watch and pray for your marriage, right? Amen. Your marriage. A rebelling child can cause so much breakdown and dysfunction in the home that it spills over and it hurts the husband and wife. A lot of times, parents, what happens when their kids rebel, man, it creates so much drama, so much press, stress and anxiety. What happens? The parents start fighting with each other. And they lose their focus, and then they pull apart, and their marriage is a mess. And then guess what? The kid hits the hinge point. They say, I messed up. I want to come back home. But because the parents are pulled apart, they come back, nobody's home. Because their marriage is a mess. Parents, when your kids are rebelling, you want to make sure you cling to God, but you got to cling to each other. You got to watch and pray for your marriage and take care of home base. That's what the prodigal father did. He had to watch his son leaving, but he still had a family and a farm to care for. He was watching for his son. Remember, he saw his son a long distance off, and he ran to him. And you watch for any turn in your kid's heart, in his behavior, in his attitude that says, maybe he's coming to his senses, and I want to be there for him to help him. But at the same time, you take care of the family, the farm. You take care of home base. And you watch and pray, but you focus on God's purpose for your life, for your marriage, for what God's called you to do. And here's what you pray, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Now, some of you, especially, I want to speak to the moms here, because especially a mom's heart for their kids when their kids are rebelling. Man, there's so much worry. Like, man, I just worry so much about my kids. What if they do this or this happens? And I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray. Well, let me encourage all of you. If you have a rebelling kid, you want to pray for two things. Number one on your outline, would you write this down? You want to pray for godly influencers. Here's why. When your kids are rebelling, parents, in that point of rebellion, they've stopped listening to you. To you, you're just nagging them. You're preaching to them. You're like blah, 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 blah. They don't want to hear it from you. And so they've turned. So what you want to do is you want to pray, God, would you bring some godly influencers into my kids' life? A friend, a coach, a student pastor, someone who will shine your light and share your love that will kind of lead my kid back to you. God, would you send some godly influencers that will be like Proverbs 13:20 on your outline that says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. God, send some wise influencers that will help light the way back. And here's where the message becomes relevant for every one of us here today. See, some of you are thinking, man, why did I even come to church today? I don't have kids. I don't need to hear about this message. But do you realize that whenever you live to show God's love and share the love of Christ, if you will light the way, do you know that you just may be the answer to some parent's prayer? You may be the one that God, a parent's praying for their kid, their son, their daughter who's rebelling, and you come along and you love on them and you invest in them and you light the way for them. Some of you here today, to be honest, if you're a guest with us today, you're not even thinking twice about, you know, the pastor wearing a shirt and tie. You didn't even think about that. That's probably, you think, church. But all the regular attenders here, in their mind, they're going, why is Pastor Paul wearing a tie? Like, he never wears a tie. Wow, did someone die? Is there a funeral? A wedding? What's going on? Can I tell you, let me tell you why I'm wearing this tie today. This tie is like a very precious gift to me. It's given to me by a mom. And on the tie, you can't see it says John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And I love this. It's my favorite tie. Can I tell you why she gave it to me? About 7-8 years ago, there's this guy named Rodney. And Rodney, man, he was a rebellious kid. And he got off on a wrong path, and then he grew up, and he got married. And in his rebellion, he was wrecking his marriage, his family, his soul. But God used this church to shine God's light and to share God's love. And man, we reached Rodney with the love of Jesus. Rodney allowed Christ to come into his heart. And I had the honor of getting to baptize Rodney about 6-7 years ago. Well, right after his baptism, Rodney's mom comes up to me. Man, she gives me the biggest hug. And she says, Pastor Paul, I just want to tell you, man, I've been praying for Rodney to come back to God for so many years. And I just want you to know that you and this church are the answer to my prayers. And then that Christmas, she gave me this tie. Friends, can I tell you, could it be that you will become the answer to some parent's prayer? That's why what we do here matters so much. And then on a side note, just to you parents with little children, can I say this? Start getting intentional about connecting your family with other committed families. Make sure you get your kids connected in Kids Zone. If you have junior high students, make sure that you go the extra mile to get them to the Stand ministry. And if you have high school students, get them to the high school ministry, because when they hit those naturally rebellious years, man, you want some other key wise influencers around them. So even if they stop listening to you, there's still some light shining on their path. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Second thing you want to pray for, and this may sound a little weird to you, a little off, a little cruel, but you want to pray a hedge of thorns around your child. Amen. Now, some of you are saying, what kind of weird church? What is that? Where are you coming up with that? Do you know in the Old Testament book of Hosea, Hosea was a prophet, and he was married to this wife who was a rebellious woman. Although this woman, her name was Gomer, she was a wife and a mother, she was on the wild side. And she would have these affairs. She would be unfaithful to Hosea. Hosea said, man, I can't handle this. I want a divorce. I want to leave this marriage. But God said, no, you're not going to divorce her. I'm going to bring her back to you. Well, God, how are you going to do that, Lord? She's chasing after all these, she's on a bad path going after these other lovers. And this is what God says in Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 on your outline. This is God talking. This is what he says. That is why I will block her way with thorn bushes and build a wall so that she can't get through. She will run after her lovers, but she won't catch them. She will search for them, but she won't find them. Then she will say, I'll go back to my first husband. Things were better for me than they are now. Like, underline that phrase, block her way with thorn bushes. Block her way with thorn bushes. Here's what God's saying. I'll put a hedge of thorns about her so that when she gets off the path to do something wrong, there'll be immediate consequences. Man, have you ever walked into a thorn bush? Ouch. Man, I get out and I'm back on the path. Man, because those hurt. Those sting. Same thing for a rebellious kid. Here's what you want to pray. God, as soon as they get off the good path, give them immediate consequences. Block their way, place a hedge of thorns about them so that they realize, Lord, through pain and consequence, that they're on the wrong road. Let them feel the stick. Let them feel the sting, but turn their hearts towards home, because here's the truth. Write this down. Some kids learn by wisdom. Some kids learn by consequences. Let me see, explain it this way. Some kids, they just came out of the womb. they were naturally gentle, compliant, obedient kids. And if you tell them something, they believe you and they follow it and they obey it. They learn by wisdom. Some kids have to learn the hard way. Like some come out of the womb with a mohawk and a cigarette saying, who's in charge here? You know? I was one of those kids. Man, I just had to learn everything the hard way. Like some kids, you tell them, hey, don't stick a bobby pin in a wall socket. And they believe, okay. Man, I only did it once. But man, I shot me. You see what I'm saying? Some kids learn by wisdom, but some, and sometimes parents, we make a mistake when we bail our kids out from the consequences, because the consequences are like a hedge of thorns that turn them back to the good road. Well, one last word. Let's wrap this up. When your kids are rebelling, remember your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is not so that your kids, you know, will not embarrass you or shame you in public. Your ultimate goal is salvation. Salvation. I love what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to perish, so he's giving more time for everyone to repent. Like God the Father is being patient. You be patient, and remember, ultimately, you want to see your kids put their faith and trust in Christ. In fact, to capture this, I want to close with one video that I think wraps up this whole message in a nutshell, because it highlights the love that a parent feels for their rebellious child. It kind of shows the extreme measures that a dad will go through to try to save his son. So here's the deal. This clip is from The Simpsons. And rebellious Bart, he's determined to do his thing his way. And his father, Homer, he warns him and instructs him and pleads with him not to go off the deep end. But Bart says, man, I'm going to go off the deep end anyways. And I want you to see what this dad does. So we'll watch this clip, and then I'll come and we'll pray. Take a look.
I tried ordering you, I tried punishing you, and God help me, I even tried reasoning with you, and the only thing left for me to do is jump the gorge myself.
What? Why?
Because that way you'll see what it's like to witness a family member stupidly risking his life for no good reason.
But, Dad, you'll never make it.
Don't you think I know that? Goodbye, son.
Wait, Dad! Don't do it! I won't jump anymore. I promise.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son. You know, boy, I don't think I've ever felt as close to you as I do right now. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. This is the greatest thrill of my life. I'm king of the world. Woohoo! Woohoo!
All right, a little humor to lighten the mood a little bit. But the reason I like that quote so much is you see the dad just rushing in to try to save his son. And man, who went through the pain in that? Who went through the suffering? And parents, if you have a kid who's rebelling, I don't take lightly. Man, it's like falling off a cliff. It's like being hit upside the head with a skateboard. We don't take that lightly. But I also want you to see from that clip, it kind of reminds me a lot of Jesus. See, to save the life of his rebelling son, Homer says, man, I don't want you to die, so I'm going to take your place. And isn't that what Jesus did to save you and me? Like he jumped into our world, into our mess. He took our sins to bridge the dividing gap so that we could be forgiven and come home to the Father. And ultimately, as parents, isn't that what we want for our kids? And that's what I'd like us to pray for right now. Would you join me as we pray together? If you bow your heads, and I want you to think of the beginning of this service today. Jesus loves the little children. He loves you today. Loves your family and your kids. And right now, I just want to give you some time to just open up your heart and receive that love. Maybe today you're here because you're that rebelling child who needs to come to your senses, to that hinge point where you say, God, today I just want to come home. I want to turn from my sins and come back to you. You can just say, God, please forgive me. And help me make a fresh start as I put my life fully in your hands. And if you'll pray that prayer, he'll do that. And if you're a parent who's struggling and heartbroken, you can just say, God, please help my child. Please bring them to their senses. Please send some godly influencers along their path, Lord. Please, God, would you place a hedge of thorns around them and protect them from going off the deep end, Lord? Would you bring them back home? And then some of you who are young parents, would you pray, God, I want to wholeheartedly commit to modeling and disciplining and setting the path for my kids all throughout all the days of their life. Lord, help me to discipline not out of anger, but out of love. Help me to focus on their future and the good things you have for us as a family and for my children. And God, regardless of what happens, I will stay focused on you and your purposes for my life. God, save me, save my kids, and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.